Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well. Well, here we are. It is Sunday morning and we are in for an incredible time today. We're going to come around the Word of God, and I have no doubt God is going to be speaking to you just like God has been speaking to me. Once again, I'm surrounded by incredible champions from one side of Enjoy Church to the other side of Enjoy Church. We're going to lean in together. We're going to come around God's Word, and I have no doubt God will be speaking to us all. And so today, we're just going to jump straight in. 2020, I don't know about you, but it has slapped me up the side of the head. And it's like, what the heck is going on here? It feels like I went to sleep in 2019. I've woken up in a nightmare. But how many of you know God can turn your nightmare into a dream? And I tell you the truth, God still wants you to dream. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. So it doesn't matter how this year has been going to this point in time. If we can lay hold of the principles of God, the power of God, the person of God, the best of this year can be, the rest of this year can be the best of this year. You know what I'm saying. And so we are in for an incredible time today as we come around God's Word. I'm sure for most of us, this year has been a surprise package. Most of us weren't really probably expecting to receive the hand that we have been dealt. But friends, I want to encourage you today. It may have caught us off guard, but it hasn't caught God off guard. I want to encourage you today. The Lord knows it all. He goes before us. He comes behind us. He surrounds us, and he knows it all. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it tells us in this passage here, and we know that in all things, everyone say all things. We know that in all things, amen, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So not only has it not caught God off guard, but the reality is, in the midst of it all, God is already at work. Friends, I want to encourage you today, God is at work right now on your behalf. He's already at work. Even if you don't see it, he's at work on your behalf. Friends, this should give us all great confidence today. If you love him, if you're living for him, then the truth is he lives for you, and he's already working for your good and on your behalf. Now, this series that we're starting today is simply called My Church, and then in brackets, for mature audiences only. M-A. This is an M-A rated series. So I'm letting you know right from the start. All right. Some of you are going to find some of what I say a little hard to swallow. Some of you are going to find it a little hard to hear. Some of you may even be offended at some things I say throughout the course of this series. But friends, I want to encourage you today. I'm not saying anything for offense sake. That's not what I want to do. I'm not looking to offend anybody for the sake of it. But I want to help us all to grow and become more and more like Jesus and become mature in our Lord and in our Savior. When the COVID virus hit back in March, that was really when it hit Australia. I remember March 15 was the Sunday that we had our last Sunday in church, and then the borders were closed and it all began to cave in, as it were. And I was being asked at that particular point in time, are you concerned for the church? Are you concerned for the church? That's what I was asked. And I was like, it's a fair question, because how many of you know we are the church? And if you know me, you know that I love the church. I love you. I love you. I love the church. And so it's a fair question that people would be asking, Shane, are you concerned for the church? My response then was, well, it's pretty much the same as it is today. It hasn't really changed that much at all. And my typical response would be, and some of you may have heard me say this, that in reality, I've never been that concerned for probably 60 to 70% of the church. I haven't been too concerned for. In fact, I've always thought that 60, 70% of the church are going to come through strong. They're going to thrive even in bad circumstances. They're going to rise to the occasion. They're going to be blessed in the house of the Lord. They're going to be blessed on their way in and blessed on the way out. Even when they're not coming to church, God is still going to bless them because they are living in accordance with the will and the purposes of God, the word of God. So therefore, the blessing and the favor of God is going going to continue to come. So for 60 to 70% of the church, I've never really been concerned about them. But the truth is, just being honest, the 30 to 40%, there is 30 to 40% of the church that I've been concerned about from day one. And the reason I've been concerned about this 30 to 40% of the church is because typically these people would be on the fringes of the church. These people would be not necessarily totally connected to the church. These people, well, they may not be that mature in their faith to this point in time. You know, growing in Christ is like growing in the natural. When babies are born, babies are born. And how many of you know babies are born babies? That's just the nature of things. That's the way things go. And it takes time for them to mature. The purpose and the desire of God is that we would be born again and then we would go on a journey to maturity that we might really reflect the nature and the goodness and the character of Christ in all that we are. But the truth is, it takes time. And so for a lot of the church, they're mature. They've got their things sorted out. But there's a portion of the church that I'm praying for, that I'm laboring for, that I'm believing for, that they're going to come into maturity over this course of time. So today, we're going to start a crash course, all right? We're going to start a crash course into this term called My Church. It's just going to be a series that we're going to bang. We're going to go after the whole thing of My Church. While My Church may be the church that you speak of fondly when you're referring to your church, in the context of this series, the term will be a reflection of what Jesus had in his mind when he said, I will build my church. You know, when we go to My Church, I'm so grateful that I can look into all your faces today and see you all sitting there, and you love your church, and you gladly say, this is my church. I'm so glad I'm surrounded by champions of that spirit, that faith, that heart, that desire. But we need to understand that when Jesus said, I will build my church, he actually had something in his mind. He was thinking something at that time. There is a mindset and there is an attitude across the face of the earth today that has many building God and his church in their own image. You say what? Yeah, I said what? You know what I'm saying is true. There are people from one end of the planet to the other end of the planet, and they today are building God into their own image. They today are building the church into their imaginations. This is what is happening. We see it all the time. Sometimes it is subtle. Other times it's really in your face. But this is what is happening. We need to remember that in the beginning, it was God who said, I will create man in my image. And it was Jesus who then said, I will build my church. God said he would create man. Jesus said he would build his church. So we've been created in the image of God. And then God in his infinite wisdom and knowledge joins us and builds us together in Christ for his purposes. We are not in the church for our purposes. His purposes for our lives are outworked through the local church. I love it, but he has something altogether in mind. He has a grand plan. And we need to understand that it's only in the church that we can actually discover who we are in Christ and all that we are called to be in him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in him, everyone say, in him. I love it when they do that. In him. And I got to tell you, it's so good to be able to speak to you tonight. It really is. Or today, or whatever time you're watching, wherever you find yourself, it is good to speak to you. So in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So in him, you are being built together that God himself might come and dwell amongst us. You know as well as I do, a lot of people are happy to receive Jesus, but don't necessarily want to receive the church. It's a sad reality, and I understand there are reasons why, but how many of you know those reasons won't stack up when you're looking into the eyes of Jesus? Because whether we like it or not, the church is Jesus' first choice. The church is Jesus' desire. He was the one who said, I will build my church, and he's looking to build his church, and he builds it with us. Friends, as I come before you today, it is to remind you that if you are in Christ, give me a wave if you are in Christ, give me a thumbs up, give me a hand, give me something. All right, so I'm here to remind you today that if you are in Christ, there can never be, there can't be a separation between you and the church. All right, now I know that even as I speak this today, I will be getting up the noses of some people, some brothers and sisters out there that are watching in, because they've disconnected from the church. They're happy to watch online, but they don't want to engage. They don't want to connect. As I said, I understand some of the reasons why people have made these decisions, but I'll tell you, my friends, they won't stack up when you stand before the Lord. We need to engage, we need to connect, and we need to be connected to the church, which is obviously the body of Christ. When Christ called you to himself, and that's how all this began, Christ called you to himself. At that point in time, as I've said before, you became alive in him. All of a sudden, it's like you were dead in your transgressions, you were dead in your sin, then you were called to Christ, and instantly you became alive in him, and he placed you in his church. The first thing he did when you became alive in him is to place you within his church. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, acceptable to God, the reason I think it's there is because Paul had the same challenges back then as we have today. He had people that were creating God in their own image and building the church in their own imaginations as to what they think it should all be about, what they think God should be like, what they think, how they think the church should be. But friends, I want to encourage you that these sacrifices may not be offering to the Lord, acceptable to the Lord. They may not be what God is looking for. In fact, I'm sure they're not. Now that you're alive in Christ, and you're alive in this spiritual house called the church. To be alive in Christ is to be alive in the church. I don't honestly understand how I can be alive in Christ and not alive in the church. I can't say that I love the Lord if I won't love his body. I can't say that I love the Lord if I don't love his bride. It's like, but we want to disconnect, and we want to compartmentalize and make it easy so that we can live lives where our emotions are always where we want them to be, and our feelings are always where we want them to be, and no one ever steps on our toes. Friends, okay, so it's for the mature. Who said you were never meant to have your toes stepped on? Who said you were never meant to grow? Who said you're never, like, because sometimes we want church to be perfect, full of saints. How many of you know that the church is full of saints, but they're growing, and children are children, and babies are babies, and that's just the way life is. And we come into the house of God, and we come into the church, and God wants us to go on this journey where we accept people for wherever they're at in God, and we journey together. And yes, some people will step on our toes occasionally. Some people will say things that will offend us occasionally. But how many of you know, if I've been offended, then I can deal with it because it's my heart and it's my responsibility. So I just need to grow up now and begin to lean into what God loves, and God loves his church. He's positioned me, he's saved me for great things, and my great things that God has saved me for begin within the context of the church. All right. But when we lack knowledge of the scriptures, or simply lack maturity in our faith, we typically begin to create God in our own image and his church into something it was actually never meant to be. Never meant to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says here, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people. Give me a wave if you're a God's people. Praise God. It sounds like a band. God's people. So to prepare God's people for works of service. All right. So fivefold ministry gifts, the ascension gifts is what they're called in Scripture. They are given for the purpose of preparing God's people for works of service. All right, we are all God's people. If you're in Christ, you're a God's people. And God has got a purpose for you. God has got a service for you. God has got a ministry for you so that the body of Christ may be built up. This only works in its fullness when the body of Christ as a whole embraces the purposes of God, the call of God, the joy of the Lord, and all that God has got for us. But if we'll all embrace it, then how many of you know all of a sudden we're going to have biceps popping, like teachers got biceps popping, you know what I'm saying? As in, we're going to be busting out. And it's like, this is the church, the glorious church, the strong church that Jesus has always had in his mind. All right, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. I like that word mature. I really want to say it in ways that are immature, but it is a wonderful word, mature. How many of you know God wants us to mature? He wants us to grow up and be the incredible men and women of God that he's calling us to be, that together we might do great things, not just in a street, not just in a suburb or a city, but all over the world. When the church begins to mature, all things become possible. When the church begins to mature, we can step into the fullness of what God has got for us. So God wants us to grow up and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed backward and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love. This is what this series is all about now. We're going to speak the truth in love, and hopefully we're going to help some to mature to become all that God wants them to become. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Friends, I tell you the truth, a body that doesn't have each part doing its work, well, it's going to be a body that's on, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be challenging for anybody that doesn't have all the parts working and functioning and operating together. Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 here says, all of us who are mature, there's that wonderful word, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. All right, I like that. So what Paul is saying here is everybody should think like I think. That's what Paul's saying. Everyone should think like I think. And if you think differently, well, God's going to hopefully help sort that out, because you got to move in your thinking here. You got to come across in your thinking and your understanding to get to a place where we understand together that God has got a place for all of us. God has got a ministry for all of us. God has got a call upon all of us. And it's only in that space that we will rise together to be one together, to be the church together that really is the glorious church that Ephesians speaks so much about. Now, God will make it clear to you, this is what Paul is saying, because essentially, God wants us all to come to this place in Christ where we, the church, reach unity in our faith, in our knowledge of the Son of God, and in maturity. All right. But as long as we create God and the church in our image, around our thoughts, around our ideas, our beliefs, our imaginations, will never abide, will never truly abide in a unity of faith, a knowledge of the Son of God, or become mature. God wants us to become mature. He said, I will build my church. This is a place where he would have us all grow and come into maturity. But if we'll lay down our creative desires to make God and the church in our own image and just allow God to speak. You know what I love about the Bible? It speaks for itself. It really does. This is what I love about God. He will speak for himself. Sometimes it's like I read a scripture and I hear someone try and interpret it, and I was like, my goodness, how did they get that out of that? Just read the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself, because it does actually speak for itself. We don't need to speak for God on many things. We just need to read Scripture. Read Scripture. I wouldn't mind standing before you one day and just reading, because the Bible will speak for itself. God will speak for himself through his word. That's why it's called his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And the word, I'm getting too excited. All right. But he came and he dwelt amongst us. And now we have the word with us. We all have the word with us. Think about this. All right. Because all I'm trying to do today is lay a foundation for the weeks that are to come. Remember, we're starting a series here. We're just laying a foundation. And if you can receive this truth and embrace this revelation, then maturity can certainly come to your address. There's no doubt about that. But if you can't get this truth and you cannot receive this revelation, then the chances of you ever becoming mature and becoming all that Christ would have you become are really limited. Now, I know that some may not like me saying that, but, at the end of the day, that is reality. We need to grow in our revelation of Christ, his word, and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to read a passage, and it's going to speak for itself. In Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" Oh, I like that. "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. All right. So let's wrap this up today. All right. We're doing good. You okay out there? Praise God. We're going to wrap it up now. Here we go. Point number one. The rock represents a revelation that can only come from God the Father. That's what that's about there. When you read this passage, the rock represents a revelation. The man has a revelation. So he now becomes rock as well. But essentially, the rock is a revelation. Point number two, those who receive the revelation, like living stones, are immediately built into the church. You don't get to have a revelation and not have Jesus bring you into the church. That's like one and the same. It's all in one motion. People step away from the church, but from the moment they are born again, they actually come into the church. Point number three, authority is given to those who have received the revelation and are built into the church. All right, now, this is where it's going to get a little bit funky monkey, if you know what I'm talking about. All right, we're going to go here, though, and I'm going to help some brothers and sisters understand why they lack authority in their life. So many people want to walk in the authority that God has given them. Friends, God has given the authority, but it's not unconditional authority. We need to understand that in Christ, yes, we are in Christ, and in Christ there is great authority, but it's not unconditional. When you come into Christ, then there's a way to live that's going to see that authority released into your life. It is there for you. It has already been purchased for you, but there is a way to live that's going to allow it now to be released through your life. I love this passage because it spells out the divine order of heaven that leads to all of us finding our life and our place within the kingdom of God. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We're built into the house by the master builder. We're given authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All this is true. But for so many, where it all falls down and comes unstuck is between when you're born again and you're walking in authority. This is where it falls down, in the middle here. We're born again. We desire to walk in authority. But somewhere in the middle here, it falls down. And it falls down and becomes unstuck in the, my church space. My church space. So yes, you must be born again. And yes, God wants to give you authority and have you walk in authority. But between the revelation and the authority is my church, which we all know is His church. All right. So important that we get this, because if we don't get this, we think we go from here to here. But that's not what the scriptures revealed. The scripture that we just read when Jesus was talking about who do people say that I am, and then He speaks blessing because you had a revelation. What does He say? He speaks about the revelation. He then talks about the church, and then He talks about a dispensation of authority. A lot of people want to go from being born again to walking in authority, but they don't want to embrace the church or understand that they're actually born again to be part of the church. Friends, you can't go from here to here and skip the middle part, which Jesus made the commitment to building. I will build my church. Praise God. Blessed are you because you've received a revelation from God. There's no doubt about that. And I'm going to build my church. I will build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Friends, but you can't take this out. If you take the church out, it falls away. It's not meant to fall away. This is why people, yes, they come to Christ, and yes, they're on their way to heaven. I'm not doubting that. I'm not saying that you need to live in this space necessarily to enter heaven. You will, you know what I'm saying? But to walk in the power of God on earth, you cannot avoid this space. Cannot avoid this space. I love this thought because I know it's messing people up. You're like, Shane, you're a sadist. No, I'm a happy pastor. I'm an enjoy pastor. I want to see people live in freedom. I want to see them walk in authority. And I want to remind them that, yes, you can be alive in Christ, but if you don't find your place in the church, you'll never walk in kingdom authority in the earth. God wants you to walk in authority out there, but it begins in here. You can't go from here to here. You've got to go through the church. Understand this. The church, I love the church. There is an all-out assault against the church on planet Earth. All out. It's a flat-out assault against the church. Why is that, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to bring an answer to you. The reason this is because the church is the bride of Christ. You know as well as I do. I'm looking at husbands and wives. Come on, men. Do you love your wives? Do you love your wives? All right. Come answer this. Does Jesus love His church? Absolutely. The devil can't get to Jesus, but he'll go after the church because this is what Jesus loves. This is what He gave His life for. This is what He gives His life for. So the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. That which Jesus is committed to building and that which Jesus is committed to coming back for. The local church is the salt of the earth, and the local church is the light of the world. The local church is the hope of humanity. It's a place of salvation, a tree of healing, a stream that brings life to all that has died. Friends, this is why the spirit of the world hates it, and will war against it. But you know what? This is why Jesus loves it and is committed to building it. It's like we see this battle happening in spiritual realms, but you know what? I thank God. I've read the Bible and I know who wins. We win. You win. Jesus won. And everybody said, amen together. Today, as we wind up, I'm going to pray for all of you. I'm going to pray for everybody watching in that you simply have a revelation of how important the church is in your life in Christ. So many people are happy to embrace Jesus, but don't necessarily want to embrace the church. And I understand it. I've been hurt at church. Anybody here been hurt at church? Give me a wave, you've been hurt at church. I'd reckon most of us should have our hands up. We all understand. But you know what? I have a family. My family have hurt me, but I don't leave my family. Why? Because they're my family. And in Christ, how much more is the church my family? Because we share in the blood of Christ together. This is my family. This is our church. And so I understand why people want to avoid it at times, but I can promise you this. My experience is, I got to tell you, I love the church. I'm looking at my brothers and my sisters. I love this family. I've become the man of God I am today because of the church, being planted in the church. I've been loved in the church. I've been rebuked in the church. I've been corrected in the church. I've been celebrated in the church. The church is where God would have us all be planted, that we might mature and bear fruit in this season and the seasons to come, whether it be a crazy COVID season or whether it be a glorious, blessed season. God would have us flourish and grow in his church. Friends, I want to pray for you all tonight that you would have a revelation of just how important the church is. Over the coming weeks, I'm going to speak into some areas, and I'm going to help you to help yourself to grow into the man or woman of God that God is calling you to become. You can't do it apart from the church. You're born again by the Spirit of God. You're made alive in the church of God. And then you're sent into the world to walk in kingdom authority. There's no doubt about that. But this part here is so important to us all. So I'm going to be praying right now for you. I'm going to pray for all my brothers, all my sisters, everybody that's watching in today. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be declaring that a new revelation, a fresh revelation, would come of just how important the church is in all of our lives. So Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now for every man, every woman, every couple, every family, everyone that's watching in, Lord God. Lord, for those who don't even know you to this point in time, may they even begin to have a revelation, Lord, of who you are right now. I'm going to pray for them in just a moment. But Lord, I pray, Lord, for all our couples, all our families tonight. Today, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless them, Lord God, with fresh revelation of just how important the church is to you and how important the church is to them. Lord, may we come into a place of understanding, of knowledge, Lord God, of revelation, Lord God, where we understand, Lord God, that we can never be who you are calling us to be apart from the church. So, Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor and we thank you, Lord, that you're still building your church and we are your church. You're building us, Lord God, into your likeness. We might, Lord, continue to grow in your attributes and your characteristics. So, Lord, we give you praise today. We give you all the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Let us grow in this incredible revelation of the church in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Now, I just want to pray. I want to pray for every man, every woman that's watching in today and you don't have a personal revelation of Christ. Friends, I encourage you. This is what you need. I've been speaking about a glorious church that these couples that you've been watching online, as in they have an understanding of who they are in Christ and the role that they have within the life of the church and the role the church has in their life. But the reality is this, they can only step into the church because we're not talking about a building here, but we're talking about the body of Christ, talking about the bride of Christ, talking about the army of God, that you can only step into the church through a revelation of who Jesus is. But here's the thing. Maybe you're watching in today and you're like, it's great. I hear what you're saying about the church. I hear what you're saying to all the guys and girls about their place in the church and what God has for them. But I'm not part of the church. And friends, the reality is this, that you may not be part of the church yet, but you can be part of the church. And you become part of the church simply through that revelation of who Christ is that we were talking about. The reality is this. This comes by faith. The Bible tells us clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But, you know, it goes on from that place. It does tell us that the wages for that sin is death. There's no doubt about that. But the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that simply means this, that you can become part of the church today simply by putting your faith in Christ, by turning your back on your old life and leaning into a new life in Christ. You can in an instant be born again, become part of the church and get ready to be walking in kingdom authority in no time at all. So friends, I want to encourage you today, if you need to give your life to Jesus, give your life to Christ today. Don't let another day go by. Let this be the day that you make the decision, I'm going to give my life to Christ. So all over the world, wherever you're watching in from, if you're watching in and you know you need to give your life to Christ, if you're watching on one of our online platforms, there's a little raised hand on the bottom right-hand side of the screen there. I want to encourage you now, if you want to give your life to Jesus, hit that little raised hand right now. Hit that little raised hand and we're going to welcome you into the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to welcome you into the family family of God. We're going to welcome you into the new life that you've been praying for, that you've been hoping for. There is a new life, a better life for you. Just hit that raised hand and give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're watching on a Facebook platform today. Can I encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook and you want to give your life to Christ, can I encourage you, just write in the comment section now, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just type it in there. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you've given your life to Christ before, but for whatever reason have drifted away. Can I encourage you now? Come home. Come back now. Make a decision. I'm coming back to Jesus right there. I want to give my life to Jesus. Write that there. Maybe on you're on the online platform. Just hit that little raised hand. I want to give my life back to Jesus. Just hit it now. And we're going to pray with you. And together we're going to see the goodness of God poured into your life. So we're going to pray right now. If you gave your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you. Pray with me now. And let's just do it now. Seal the deal. Right here, right now, give your life to Christ. Pray with me now. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life and I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is both pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my God, and be my friend. And based upon your word, I know you're listening, Lord. And I know from this day on, I'm your child, and I'll never be alone again. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Come on, let's give it up for all those who just gave their hearts to Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, we're about to go all the way over to Kidmania. Kidmania. Anybody in here love Kidmania? I don't know about you. I love Kidmania. I love the work that they do. To Pastor Luke and to all the leaders across all of Enjoy Church that serve in Kidmania, know that we love you. We're praying for you. And to all of you guys and girls, have a great day today. Know that we're praying for you. This is a crazy season, but God got there before we did. So it's going to be okay. We'll continue to love him. We will serve him. We'll play our part in the church and we'll walk in kingdom authority. To God be the glory. God bless you lots and we'll see you real soon. Bye for now.